Off the Ball are bringing you more live commentary than ever.
That's the way you come out of the gates, baby.
Catch every Steelers game live on OTB Sports Radio.
With the touchdown.
Just download the Off the Ball app now.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Well, it's another Sunday kickback after a big, big win for Liverpool in the Premier League title race. Keith Tracy, 2-0 win. Cody Gakpo scoring in the first half. Mo Salah in the second. And Manchester City again with another poor performance. Is this really the time they need to start worrying now?
Yeah, you would be starting to worry now. I said before the game, I'm not pressing the panic button on them, but the performance, Stephen, you know, you can look and you can think, well, there's so much talent in the dressing room. Kevin De Bruyne is going to be building up his fitness coming into January. He'll be there. Ruben Diaz coming back into the team as well. You think, right, there's leaders, there's talent, it's all going to come together. You can't just fall off a cliff, not everybody at once. And I know people are saying, well, there's a lot of players in their 30s. 30's not like he used to be when I played. There's like Mo Salah is 32 and still at the absolute peak of his power. So I don't buy into that they've all got too old and you haven't got the legs. I just think people have really good tactics against them. They know how to play, and Manchester City throw a blanket on everything. Well, this is how we're going to do it, and it doesn't matter what the opposition is or what they're going to do, this is how we're doing it. And you see with the force goal, the ball's in for Salah in behind. They're not difficult balls to hit. If you're Trent Alexander-Arnold and there's no pressure on the ball, you have to drop, you must drop. The fact that they're on the halfway line with no pressure on the ball, it's basics of football. It really is basics. And if you're a centre half and you see Salah on your left hand shoulder and there's no pressure on the ball, you're thinking this ball's only going in one place. And it happens so often. I know Pep is saying we want to squeeze the game. Luis Diaz on one side, Mo Salah on the other. I'm not so sure he'd be playing a high line, and so often Liverpool got in behind.
Yeah, so like normally in these situations, people want to look and find one particular, like, what is going wrong with City at the moment? There just seems to be a number of factors. They're obviously missing Rodri, the Ballon d'Or winner. They're missing a lot of key players in different positions. And then that's leading on to maybe the mistakes that are being made. We said so many times today, Bernardo Silva coughing up possession, being put under pressure. Ederson dropped after what happened during the week. Stefan Ortega coming in, perhaps not, yeah, well, he's not an experienced Premier League goalkeeper. Again, we were baffled by Pep Guardiola's decision to put Matthias Nunez out on the left-hand side. He just could not beat a man. And it was notable that they bring on two wingers in the second half and they got a lot more joy. So even the manager has to take criticism for that performance today.
Yeah, and you're not sure what... Pep Guardiola, for me, has a tendency to overthink these bigger games, and you think maybe he's gone with Nunez on the left and thinking, right, well, we're going to be... Liverpool are attacking the cop in the first half. Maybe we weather the storm in the first half. Second half, we'll go and play a bit of football from there. I understand that thinking, but so often Nunez got Trent Alexander-Arnold in a 1v1. You think, well, what are you good at and what's he not good at? Trent going backwards into his own 18-yard box, for me, can make a couple of dodgy decisions. But if you're going to dribble at him to a certain extent and then just come back out and recycle the ball, Liverpool's press was unbelievable. So the sidewards and backwards passes, especially from Bernardo Silva, so often he played it backwards without even looking. Nunez was coming in. So it's Salah chases absolutely everything. So I just don't, look, Bernardo Silva, there was one where they had decent possession on the edge of their own 18-yard box and he just belted it as far away as possibly could. You're thinking, in one instance you're trying to keep the ball at all costs, in the second you're just bouncing as far away as possible. And the fact that Silva's come out and said, I think City are in a dark place, and then Pep is coming out and saying, oh, I don't think that. The performances from Bernardo Silva over the last month or so just haven't been anywhere near it. And look, I've spoke about Haaland scoring 12 goals. That's grand. That's what he's there to do, to finish off the moves. But in terms of Foden, Nunez, Doku, Savinho, I know De Bruyne is only coming back to get his fitness. There's not an awful lot of goals in that team. You know, Phil Foden brought very, very little to the game.
He's gone off a cliff, his form, isn't it?
Like, Haaland can only do so much. He's not a, you know, people ask me, where are you going to put Haaland in so many years in terms of Premier League strikers? He's not like a Thierry Henry that can pick the ball up, beat three or four players and go and smack the ball into the back of the net. People have to create for him. And although he's getting little sniffs here or there, I know he missed a couple of chances against Spurs, they're letting him way too many goals. And they're basically saying to Haaland, to Foden, to Grealish, Doku, Savinho, whoever it is, we need to score two or three goals here to win this game. And you look at Liverpool, they're keeping clean sheet after clean sheet against the bigger teams, and they're saying to Diaz and Gakpo, Nunez, Salah, go and get us a goal and we'll defend the game from there. And look, you're looking at Konaté coming out and thinking that could possibly shake Liverpool a little bit. I thought Gomez was brilliant in the 70 minutes he played centre half. He was really good. So yeah, all looks really good for Liverpool, but I didn't see it being this good whatsoever. I'm still thinking if somebody can get the other side of that Liverpool midfield without a proper number six, I think they can be found out. But so far, so good from Liverpool.
Yeah, we will come on to them in a moment. Just to stay with the champions, because it is remarkable to see them now 11 points behind Liverpool after that defeat today. And there was one issue with the match this afternoon that we kind of noticed, and I wonder, is it kind of a microcosm of what's going on there at City? Because Virgil van Dijk wasn't picked up for any of the corner kicks. He had about four chances, one off the post, one just wide, one just over the bar. So during that game, I'm asking you as a former professional, in that situation, okay, you expect players maybe to go, right, one of you has to go, your captain or somebody, one of you has to stay with him. If that doesn't happen on the pitch, surely the manager then identifies this problem and he goes, you have to stay with Virgil van Dijk when corners are coming in. So the fact that that's not happening, what's going on there? Is the manager giving up? Are the players giving up on the manager? Are the players giving up on each other? What's happening?
I think it's a lack of leaders. I know we can go to Rodri not being there, but surely like I
Ruben
say,
Diaz.
Ruben Diaz as well. But van Dijk hits a header just wide, hits the crossbar, was dangerous from one or two others. And I think there was one corner that Kyle Walker decided, right, I'm going to go and mark you. And van Dijk still got his head in it, just floating in around the back, still got his head in it. But if you're a Ruben Diaz, and I take the point that Pep should probably flag it, but when there's, you know, so many thousand scouts are screaming at the top of their lungs, it's very difficult to get your message across. But surely somebody should have said, well, he's won the last three headers, somebody go and mark him. And I was always in teams with like the likes of a Sam Allardyce. I said, you go and mark and you take full responsibility. So if I'm marking you, you're not scoring, and if you don't score, I've done my job. But you know, these zonal markings, I think you think if the ball comes into a certain area, then it's my problem. But if it doesn't come into my area, it's not my problem. And the one thing you don't want to be giving 6 foot plus players is a run on you. You give a 6 foot plus player a run on you, especially somebody like Van Dijk, they're going to win it all day long. So for me, take responsibility, get close, mark somebody, and make sure they don't get the head in it.
So Liverpool, absolutely fantastic. I did their game last week against Southampton with Brian Kerr. I was on their game as well during the week against Real Madrid. A poor first half against Southampton, and they came from behind to win that game. But the next two matches, their first half performance is sensational. They went out and they attacked Real Madrid, and they did the same against Manchester City today.
Yeah, and you flagged it in during the commentary, Stephen. The way they interchange their positions, it just seems so good. Like, the three in midfield are brilliant players, but they never seem to all go at once. It's like somebody knows, I have the forward lads, you can go. And it's just communication. It's just understanding of when to go, when not to go. And look, Gravenberch has been really, really good. Szoboszlai has been brilliant. Curtis Jones, when he's popped in and out, has been excellent. But McAllister is the one for me that I really, really like. So much composure. I mean, the helter-skelter of Anfield, he just seems like he's playing his own game. Very, very easy. Rushed on the ball. Very rarely will he lose the ball. So he's somebody that you can just keep lending the ball to under so much pressure. So I think they've been amazing. They've been really, really good. I keep speaking about the lack of a natural number six, but very few people, like, they played Real Madrid, Leverkusen, Villa, now Manchester City. Nobody seems to be able to expose that, so maybe it's a problem I'm anticipating rather than a problem that's actually there.
Yeah, because everybody's saying they need a good test, but like they've beaten the champions of Europe very convincingly, beaten City today convincingly. They went to Arsenal, took a point from them as well, so They're meeting these challenges and they're overcoming them.
Well, to be fair, when I looked at the Nottingham Forest game, the only game that Liverpool have lost this season, with the two wingers, Hudson Odoi, Elanga, and the big strong man Wood up front, you're thinking if you get pace out in the wing against Liverpool, isolate Robertson, isolate Trent Alexander-Arnold, and have somebody in the middle to occupy two centre halves, so you're isolating the two fullbacks, I think there's something to go and get after Liverpool. But what Forest did so well was, for 60-70 minutes of that game, they were just competitive against Liverpool. Then they found players that could go and hurt them in transition, and it worked really well. But getting at that back four of Liverpool is a hard thing to do. To get at City's back four is very, very easy. When they lose the ball, they're all over the pitch. There's no real shape to them. So when they lose it, you can go straight for them. But Liverpool, when they lose it, the recovery runs are brilliant from the midfielders. Even Darwin Nunes comes on the pitch and he's probably thinking, as a striker, I might be able to nick a goal here. He was getting standing ovations for tackles he was putting in the last 10 minutes. So the want, the desire, the talent, everything seems to be there from Liverpool, and they seem like the real deal.
Yeah, because a lot of people questioned the wisdom of bringing a manager like Arne Slot in, because he only had the experience of managing with Feyenoord in the Eredivisie, and it was a big step up for him to go to manage a club like Liverpool. But his tactics have been spot on, and he's shown that he can make tweaks in mid-game when things are going against Liverpool. You know, he can set teams up well from the start of games as well, and as we were talking about the change of positions, all that kind of stuff. He seems like a really brilliant coach.
Yeah, and that's why we talk about tactics, you know, in-game tactics, when to change it, what to do, what not to do. Pep seems to set his team out and say, look, this is what we're going to do, and if that doesn't seem to work, they seem to be a little bit all over the place, people looking at each other going, well, we were sent out with this game plan and it doesn't seem to be working, and they seem to be running down dead ends rather than somebody saying, well, we'll try this for the next 5 minutes. And again, I go back to leaders, I go back to people being vocal and telling people what they want, and the minute they just seem like a load of sheep just following each other, nobody really poking their head above the water and saying, lads, give me the ball, I'll make things happen. And with the amount of talent in that Manchester City team, it really is unforgivable. So I do look at Manchester City and think, a lot of injuries, people missing, people coming back, I get that. But you do look at Guardiola's team and think, that's the envy of nearly every manager within the Premier League. So there's still enough there to be competitive and to be absolutely dominated from start to finish from Liverpool. I'm sure leaves a really bad taste in City mouths.
Yeah, I'm just looking down at the table here. You're kind of thinking, well, Arsenal 9 points behind Liverpool, Chelsea just 9 points behind them as well. Are they the dark horse? Because the kind of style of football you were talking about that can take Liverpool on, Chelsea might be the team that can provide that wing play, and, you know, a team clever enough to be able to expose the weaknesses that you've mentioned in the Liverpool game.
Yeah, well, I think so much of modern football now is having pace on the wings, and if you can be really compact in the middle of the pitch, force people out wide, when you nick it, give it to your wide lads and let them go and hurt you. And I think that's, Newcastle are very, very good at that, Nottingham Forest are very, very good at that, having one man through the middle to occupy centre halves and isolate people on the wings. Forest, you know, you look at them on paper, you're thinking probably do well to stay out of a relegation battle, but with the threat they have on the wings, with Chris Wood finishing as he is, yeah, look, I really like Chelsea, but you do think there's going to be some inconsistency. With so much talent on a Monday morning, there's going to be people knocking on the door just not happy. So I think Chelsea have outweighed my expectations. I use words like unmanageable, chaotic, but Enzo Maresca seems to have brought a little bit of calmness towards that now. So Chelsea look really good, but it's hard, it's very, very hard to look past Liverpool. Although I'm not totally writing off of Manchester City, I think Arsenal have been too inconsistent. Although they were good, they were good yesterday, I think it's going to be City or Liverpool.
Yeah, and look, just to finish on the two teams, Liverpool first, like they've got, like I said, I always felt this was a really crucial period. 11 days to play Real Madrid, City, Newcastle away next year on the week, and Everton away, the last Merseyside derby at Goodison Park before Everton move out. So that's going to be, Everton going to be up for that. I know they're not in good form, they got beaten 4-0 yesterday, but coming out at the end of that Everton game, we're going to know a lot more about Liverpool and where their title challenge stands.
Yeah, well, there'll be some big, big questions after the Liverpool defence. I think when we looked at how Liverpool started today against Manchester City in Anfield, you know, helter-skelter, a million miles an hour, put people under pressure, the Geordies, Newcastle can do that to you up there as well. So that'll be a little question for Liverpool. Then the Merseyside derby against Everton, there's going to be a whole host of different questions that will be asked: physicality, want, desire. Liverpool haven't come up short in any of those departments yet, but you do think Newcastle away, big, big one. Everton, the Merseyside derby, another big game. And as we say, Slot technically just seems to have everything under control, seems to know which players to play in which position. But you do think if you come out with two wins, Newcastle and Everton, rolling into January, you'd assume Liverpool will be all right.
Absolutely. And City, look, on the other hand, a couple of tough games for them. They've got Nottingham Forest at home, and then Crystal Palace away. Crystal Palace not playing so well at the moment, so they might fancy getting the 3 points away from home. But Forest, in their own place, not exactly an easy fixture.
No, far from easy. You know, we speak about Morgan Gibbs-White in there, will pop up in holes, make things happen. Alanga on one side, Hudson-Odoi, so much pace in there. There's Yates as well, will put the foot in, and Chris Wood will go and just you know, he'll bully anybody. Ruben Diaz coming back into the Manchester City team, probably a little bit undercooked, going up against Chris Wood. It's probably not the physical battle you want. So there's a lot of the Forest players will be licking their lips thinking, lovely, this is a great game, but you'd imagine City need 6 points in those two games.
If they drop points, are they out of the title race in those games?
They're
11 points off Liverpool now. That's
really
going to be hard
flirting with any. I know I said before the game, there's 75 points to play for, massive amounts of points to play for. There's still so many things that can come to the forefront. As an Arsenal fan, I'm looking, thinking maybe, you know, if a Trent contract leaks, that maybe he's flirting with a Real Madrid or Van Dijk or Salah. Could something like that maybe trip them up? I'm not too sure. I think I'm trying to look for problems than actually problems being there, because, you know, the first couple of months of the season has been unbelievable for Liverpool.
Just finally, Quivin Keller, another, well, he didn't have too many things to do today, but he, you know, late in the game, he made a very crucial save when, you know, a lot of players or goalkeepers' concentration might be gone at that stage. But he's proved himself to be a top-class goalkeeper in this period in place of Alisson. The January window is coming. He did say when he was on Ireland duty back in September that he was willing to look elsewhere. So what does he do now? Does he look for a club to move to, or does he stick with Liverpool? What do you think his situation will be?
I'd love to see him play more often. I think Alisson is always going to be the number one there, being the Brazilian. He sort of has that sexy name. He's able to play out from the back. But Quivin's outstanding. The one-on-one save against Kevin De Bruyne in around the 82nd minute. If that goes in, it's 2-1 with 10 minutes to go, with squeaky bum time. So big moments of the game, Quivin had largely very little to do, but saves a one-on-one when he's idle for 80 minutes. So it shows you that his mentality is right. He's staying tuned in the game. But as an Irish fan, I'd love to see him playing week in, week out. I think he's earned that right. And I'm sure there's a couple of Premier League suitors just licking their lips thinking, if we can get him out of there, all well and good. But he's been that good that you'd imagine that slot, just like Klopp, will think, we don't really want them to go. And the last thing we want is another player who seems to have the world at his feet in terms of talent, in terms of what he can deliver in big, big games. We don't want them sitting on the bench.
Cheers, Keith.
Cheers.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.